What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Oregon Basketball Coaches Association podcast, a product of the Oregon Basketball Coaches Association. To get the most up-to-date info, visit our website at or.nhsbca.org. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Oregon Basketball Coaches podcast. I'm Eddie Townsend, OBCA board member and assistant boys coach at Newport High. Today I'm joined by Ron Hopp, boys basketball coach at Dayton High School. Coach, how's it going?
Fantastic. How are you doing?
Can't complain. You know, I just enjoy getting in the gym, getting a good practice in, try to keep getting better, but, you know, the grind of the season is upon us.
Absolutely.
So let's just jump into this. For those listeners that, don't know you, don't know your background, how you got to be the coach at Dayton and kind of your experiences as the coach at Dayton. Just remind us real quick if you could.
Well, I've been the head coach here. I think this is my 21st season. I started back coaching a little bit before that with Doug Miles when Doug was here. Asked me to come on as staff, and we hit it off really good together as far as kind of our likes about, you know, defense and so forth. So it was a good experience right from the start. I grew up in this town, played here, and I kind of wanted to give back, and this is kind of a way that I can give back to my community. And if I wasn't coaching at Dayton, I probably would not be coaching.
That makes sense. I mean, you've been doing it for quite a while, and you've, you know, maintained or built one of the most respected programs in the state. So as a coach of your caliber, mid-December, you know, right around now, you've had a ton of success throughout your career. But what are you doing right now, you know, right in the middle, right before Christmas break? What are your thoughts going into this next portion of, you know, the off season, or excuse me, as a part of the preseason, just to get your team ready for league play and then on into the playoffs?
Well, we're, at the 3A level here, there's some really good basketball teams, and there's a lot of teams that are coming back into this season that have a number of guys or, you know, that you knew that was going to be really strong. And so, you know, this RPI stuff over the years, I've kind of got to the point where if I have good teams, that I have great guys coming back, quality players, we're gonna try and play, if we can, the best schedule that we can get, whether they be home games or away games, with what I feel are possibly the top, you know, top 10 teams at our level, or even at the 2A level or at the 4A level, if we can do it. Because that RPI stuff, I think two things happen. It kind of tests your kids early and, see where we're at against the really, really good competition. And, you know, we've done that so far. Tomorrow night we'll play the number one team in the state at our level, at least at ranking wise with OES. We've played Westside Christian, which is a top, you know, they're number two right now. We played De La Salle, who will probably be by the end of the season in the top five, and then we're going to be playing Cascade Christian here, who is probably absolutely got you know, some of the best players at our level. And so we're trying to challenge ourselves as far as that goes, and it's we've done pretty well so far, but we've got a tough test tomorrow night. But I think we want to just stress with our kids about just getting in, you know, improving every day. Like you said, it's you don't want to look at the big picture at the very end. You want to look at today and if we're going to improve today. And, you know, we'll see if our practice is setting us up for tomorrow. But, you know, our schedule this year is really, really tough. And we'll see where that puts us at the end of the year, though.
And I'm glad that you brought up the Class 3A, because that's actually, you know, I talked to Jeff Clark a couple days ago, and we talked about 2A, and I wanted to get your take on 3A. We'll get to that, because it's a gauntlet right now. It looks like, whoever can get to that final site, that's going to be a fun state tournament, I think, to watch. So, but before we get to that, I mean, so you're at this stage, and, you know, Dayton, I don't know right now how they did this year. for football. I think they're pretty good.
Semifinals.
You guys got to the state finals in football?
Yeah, the semifinals. They lost Cascade. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I knew they were tough. I didn't know how deep they went. So they get to the semifinals. And obviously that is something that it flows right into football. And then maybe you know the rules of your guys, maybe you don't. When you're getting to this stage, I mean, you got a bunch of winners, and like I asked Jeff, his team just won the state title in football in 2A. You know, you got guys that are winners, but you got a lot of them, right? You might have a lot of guys that played football, but maybe their role is different now. Or maybe you got guys that expected to be winner, you know, starters or big-time players, and maybe their role is different, or vice versa. When you get, you know, four or five games into the season and you got to kind of restructure roles and expectations for players and for the team, how do you do that?
Well, I think, you know, and I think in the end that all kind of plays itself out in practice by just the competition of our practices. We do have some guys that came out this year that were not out last year that were football players, and they're extremely helpful to our program because they bring us the toughness that you get when you play football. I wish a lot more of our kids played football. I mean, I was not a very big guy. I played football here for Coach Sullivan, and you know, it just is a totally different sport. I was, like you said, I was a role player. I mean, I was a receiver on a running team. That ought to tell you something, what he thought of me. But, you know, it's one of those things where that toughness that comes into your, you know, into your program is extremely useful. It just is. And, it, you know, some kids don't see it maybe that way that, oh, I'm not getting a start. I'm not the star. You know, I've got one kid that was, you know, offensive player of the year, you know, for us, a running back. And, you know, he's right now, he did not play last year, but he's working his way in, and we're going to use him. I said, you know what, by the end of the year, you're going to be valuable to us. So, you know, just keep working hard, try to catch up as fast as you can, and, you know, don't get too caught up in all that other stuff. But I think over the time, if you're here long enough and you do have a little bit of success, that, you know, those kids and the expectations, it just kind of, you know, they expect to win. And if you get kids that expect to win, you're going to be successful no matter what.
That makes sense. And so, I mean, I did want to ask you about Coach Sullivan. You know, if those who don't know who we're talking about, Dewey Sullivan, one of the winningest coaches, if not the winningest coach in Oregon history for football as a head coach, you played for him. What's one thing that you remember from him that just kind of sticks with you as a coach? And what is, you know, something that you bring, that maybe you bring into what he taught or whatever into your coaching?
Yeah. I, well, Coach, you know, he was one of those old school guys, very, very tough, but he did have a dry sense of humor. He did like to laugh. He liked to crack jokes, but they were, you know, dry jokes. But, and keeping your humor even in the midst of a battle is still important. But the one thing I really do learn from that I did learn from Coach is you know, he treated, you know, as best guys can do it. I think he treated everybody the same. I mean, even if you were the starting quarterback or you were the you know, a sub coming off, you know, just a practice player, everybody kind of got treated the same as the way it felt. And so if you can do that with your teams and, you know, everybody gets the same treatment, you know, and hopefully that's, you know, it was always good for, you know, he was stern. I mean, it was always one that he wasn't going to let you slide. He was going to coach you in the moment. That's for sure. I can recall a couple of moments being coached in the moment and, you know, no one really liked it a lot, but I truly respected him and what he brought to this town and, you know, just a winning attitude and wanting to compete. I think that's what, you know, kids will, you know, they'll absorb that if they know that you're on their side and you want to compete with, you know, we don't, as coaches, we don't get to play, but we want to be competitors and we want our kids to be competitive. So, you know, play on every possession. Don't take plays off. And that's kind of the message that I got from my coaches. And hopefully we can give that to our kids that, you know, they don't take plays off because, you know, when you're old and fat like the rest of us, you want to be able to reflect back on your time here and say, you know, I did everything I could. We may not have won a state championship or we may not have done this, but we were, you know, we gave it everything we had, and we got the most out of our team.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, your teams are tough. I mean, I've coached against you guys in the summer and during the regular season, and you've got a tough team. Every time you go against the Dayton team, you know they're going to be up in you on the defensive end. And when I think about you and how you stretch your defense, you know, how many teams do you see that are winning at a high clip running just zone? I know that you guys are very good man-to-man defense. I don't know how much time you spend running zone, but what are your thoughts on the difference of, you know, structuring your team as a man-to-man defense or structuring your team as a zone defense or 50-50? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there, it depends, you know, it depends on the, you know, your kids on the floor. I think, you know, the Jimmys and Joes make up what you're going to do. I don't run the same stuff every year. Always people are, oh, do you run the flex? Do you run this? I just see who we have, and I try to structure around that. And I think it goes back to Coach Sullivan. It really does. I mean, he always, you know, said, let's run the football, control the football, and, you know, passing can lead to interceptions. And, you know, maybe it was boring football, but it was really consistent. Guys knew who they were supposed to block. You knew what you were supposed to do. And, you know, I think defense is something at the high school level. If you can pressure people the right way, with the personnel that you have, I think you can create some, you know, pressure. Some people do it in the full court. We've always done it in the half court. Last year we did a little bit more full court because we had 8 or 9 guys that could play, and, you know, we had no height, so we had to kind of make it a full court game. But, you know, this year we kind of mix it up a little bit because we got maybe one less guy to throw in right now, but we'll pick up a little bit more full court. We still are pressuring, but, you know, and that's the
so
thing
when
about
you pressured, I do want to ask you, when you pressure, are you pressuring more like a full court zone press, or are you more of a full court man-to-man guy?
We're man. I figure if you take the legs away from some of the guys, they won't be as good as a shooter, so... You know, I don't like to play a lot of zone press because you give up more lanes, it seems like, in a zone press.
Yeah.
I mean, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you couldn't foul. You couldn't touch anybody, so you had to run a lot of zone. Nowadays, they allow a little bit of contact, and, you know, I think the game got a little bit too physical 20 years ago, but I think it's back to a pretty good pace now where guys are not just clubbing people out there, and you can get to spots. But I think pressuring people... You know, there's not a lot of high school kids can shoot pull-up jumpers. There just isn't. I mean, you know, they don't spend enough time in the gym to dribble, pull-up jumper and knock them down. Most guys are set shooters. And so if you can run them off the line, you know, make them jump shooters, you'll have a little bit more success.
So when we talk about just like the nuance of some things that you do, when you have a lead, end a game, end a quarter, how are you handling those situations?
On the offensive end, as far as offensively?
Excuse me. You have the ball. You know, a lot of people will hold it for the last shot. Do you tend to do that, or do you just like to?
No, I used to. When I first started, I wanted to micromanage everything. I mean, and it just depends on the situation. You want to get your, you know, teams are going to foul. You try to get it to your best free throw shooter. But I've always been, after a loss about 15 years ago, that I had to drive all the way back from Lakeview. We were up by 6 going in the fourth quarter, and we tried to take the air out of it a little bit. And I just, you know, I kind of put my kids on their heels. I did. And we ended up losing by 2. And I had to drive all the way back from Lakeview going, I lost these kids this game. And I told myself I'd never do that again. I'd never put my team on the defensive side of being aggressive. And I would rather lose by throwing haymakers than just, you know, covering up. And I just think just be aggressive, you know, be smart about your aggressiveness. If it's one-on-one, take to the hoop, do it. If it's a one-on-two, probably a bad shot. So, you know, but I would rather have them be aggressive than not. And the shot clock coming in next year, you know, I don't really think is going to hurt our teams. You know, I'm kind of torn between this whole thing. I think it's going to make the good teams better and the bad teams worse.
Yeah, no, I was going to get that to that, you know. And
yeah.
So when you're thinking about end of game, end of quarter situations with the shot clock, What do you think, how does that change your mindset? Like, are you going to be doing different things defensively?
Yeah, you can now. Yeah. Well, I mean, you're going to be able to do things different on every possession. I mean, it's going to be, it depends on what the time is. I do not know what the time
is. I think it's 35 seconds.
Yeah. Well, that's not
quite
terrible.
A bit of time.
That is a lot of time. It's almost probably too much time. 30 probably would have been better, but you know, I don't know if that's really going to play into it. I think, but you could play zone the first 15 seconds of the clock and man the last 15, you know, 20 seconds of the clock. Kids are going to get confused.
This is the thing. So I've talked to a lot of people about this and they say the same thing. Like it's going to make the good teams better and the bad teams worse. And I just think I'll be real with you. I just don't like a bad team or if you're just better than a team, they normally don't hold the ball that long. They don't have the ability to. You know what I mean? They can't control the ball.
Well,
and so it's not like
we've had it a couple of times. Well, we've had it a couple of times, and I think the only times that it's that I can recall, I know probably in my whole, I mean, we're going back 20 plus years that I've had three teams I think that have held the ball on us, and the one that came to mind that really kind of just we still won the game, but it just I felt bad for the fans because and I understand why they did it. It was against Valley Catholic against us when we ended up, I'm not sure if we won it. Yeah, we did win it that year with AJ. It was his last year, Hedgecock and that group in 2012. You know, we played Valley Catholic and their point guard, who was their best player, broke his ankle in the play-in game in the last minute of the game.
Hmm.
And, it ended up being like a 32-18 game in the first round. I just felt bad for the fans because, we had some really good players, and I wish their kid wouldn't have gotten hurt. But, but it wasn't that great of fun of a, you know, it just wasn't that fun to be in.
Yeah, I mean, I remember playing against, old Bob Macbeth teams that, at East Law, and he would just take the air out of it. And, I mean, the score at the end of the first quarter would be like 4-2.
Halftime.
Yeah, I mean, it was tough, but you'd have to guard, you'd have to defend the flex for like,
Six minutes,
it felt like
Bob had a lot of different offenses he'd run. I was like, forget it, I'm not chasing you all over. I'm just gonna play zone.
Right.
But so Bob was a good offensive guy.
Let's talk about like when you are in a deficit, which hasn't happened much, I'm sure. What are you saying to the team to mount a comeback, stay close? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think you just got to be aggressive and stay positive. I mean, it depends on. You know, what's going on? I mean, if it's against a team that's way better than you, hey, just keep competing. If it's a team, and there's other times where you're better than the other team and you're just playing horrible and they're playing good. And, I just tell them, look, it'll turn around. You just got to keep believing in what we're doing. But all those are kind of, you may try other things where you do start pressing if you're not a pressing team. You're just going to have to pull out all the stops. I mean, and I think, what that tells your team is, look, just fight to the end. Don't quit fighting. Just keep going. It'll help us down the road, even if we don't get this game. But, I mean, it's just one of those things where you just want to see your kids keep competing. You can see when teams stop playing. You can see it. And I don't want our kids to ever do that. And I've been in some big losses. We've been at home after that 2012 year, the next year, 2013, Horizon Christian beat us at our place. We were behind at halftime, like by 22 or something like that. And it wasn't even that close. I mean, they were just rolling us. They were just putting a thumping on us. And, at halftime, I just said, look, we're going to have to play better. I don't know what else to tell you. I still had good kids and we came back. We got beat by 20, 25 points. We got smacked around pretty good. 2 weeks later, we go back and play at their place. And I just said, look, you play bad like you did last time, we're going to get smacked again. So don't hold anything back. Just go out and play well and just don't have a fear of failing. We ended up beating them by two at their place. So those are the things that you kind of look back and you go, our kids could have stopped playing. They could have said, no, let's just roll over. But they didn't, and they competed, and that's what you like to see. We didn't win a state championship that year. We ended up we got third that year, which, you know, for that team with no one over 6 foot one, I was super thrilled.
Right. And so, you know, over the years, who would you say has been some of your biggest rivals when it comes to schools?
Well, I mean, you know, recently Amity's, you know, had some really good athletes over the last, you know, 10 years. And in our league, you know, the last 10 years, it's been Amity. Prior to that, it was Horizon Christian. When Dave, Coach Brown was there, you know, we were playing some high quality players. I mean, that were at Horizon Christian. They were extremely talented.
And that duo played in what, 3 state title games?
I mean, and there was just some really good players. There was, you know, there was high caliber. I mean, there were Division I guys, you know, in our league. And Sheridan, the 1 year, Sheridan was third. So Amity, it was Dayton, or Horizon was first. We were second. Amity, or Sheridan was third. And there were some kids, you know, there were just really high quality kids in the league at that time. I mean, Sheridan was really good. And they had a kid named Trey Emerson Hale. You know, Trey Hale Emerson, he was about 6'7", long, lanky, and he ended up playing at Cal Northridge. He was a really good, I saw just so much talent in that kid. He just needed to mature a little bit, and he did, and he was an extremely good player.
So, I mean, obviously the teams in your league, are there any teams outside of your league that just perennially are one of Dayton's rivals?
Yeah, well, I mean, De La Salle is always, you know, they've got a really good coach. Their staff does a great job. Coach Morris does a great job. Coach Morris down at Cascade Christian, they're always talented. They're always loaded. You know, those are the two that, you know, come to the forefront, right, you know, over the last, you know, 10 to 20 years that, you know, that have been good. You know, St. Anne Christian's been good. You know, there's some other teams that have been good. Last year, Westside Christian was good. So, I mean, a lot of the Christian schools, they're always, I mean, if you go back 25 years at our level and you look to see who's at the state tournament, there's a lot of familiar names there.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So when it comes to, you know, your thoughts about mentor coaches or mentoring other coaches and to be, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Have you had coaches that have been in your program that have gone on to become coaches somewhere else? What kind of a mentor did you have as you were a younger coach?
Well, I, you know, my staff has been, I mean, my assistant coach, Randy Freeborn, has been, we're all the guys that are on my staff right now, except for the JV2 coach right now. He has lived in Dayton their whole life, played at Dayton, and still live in Dayton. So a lot of these guys aren't going anywhere. I mean, so right. They're not, I haven't, and my previous assistant coach, he went to Dayton, his kids played at Dayton, and he was, you know, here, and he helped me for, you know, over 10 years. So I really haven't had a lot of guys that have went on here. You know, maybe that's on me, but
no, you just have friends and people that aren't going. I mean, it's really the most healthy way to do it, really. I mean, it's like,
they're
going to be in the long haul.
Right. Well, they're doing it for kind of the right reasons. And I don't blame guys. Hey, I want to get my foot into coaching, and then I want to move up and I want to coach, you know, 6A, or then I want to go to college and do some of that. I really never have been one that has wanted to do that. That's not where my passion is. My passion is just to, you know, I live here. I want to give back to this town. I was fortunate enough to play here and go on and play in college and have a little bit of success where I didn't have to pay for my school. So I was pretty fortunate in that. And if I can do it, just, you know, your average Joe, you know, and if I can do it, you know, I can give that strength and experience to somebody else possibly if that's what their dreams are. But, you know, I try to be honest with all the guys that want to go on and play down the road. It's like, look, you're not going to get coached by a guy like me, even though I'm hard on you. And they're going to be really hard on you. And so if you love this and you want to do this and this is your passion, then this is what you're going to get. This is what you can expect. And I try to give them that experience. But, and we've had guys that have went on and played college, and they come back and they, I kind of get it now. But, you know, I want their time to be here. I want this to be something that they can reflect back on and with fond memories, hopefully. You know, I mean, some of the trips that we're able to take, and I know you're as a coach, you know, sometimes what we've missed with this COVID stuff is the trips to Seaside, where you take your team and get a house and, you know, parents come and they cook breakfast for you and the kids have a great time, go to the ocean, stuff like that. That's the stuff that I think we've missed in that 2-year window. Our Christmas trip going down to, you know, Medford, it's hard on a fellow like me. I got to get off of work and I got to go down there, but I enjoy it because the kids enjoy it. And those are the things that they'll remember. And if you're fortunate enough to get to go to the state tournament and have that experience, and, you know, I think they'll remember that for the rest of their lives. They will. I know they will.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, obviously that's that's the peak of it all. And it's a great experience for sure. So when you talk about, you know, you're going against the zone press, what's the most innovative way you'd like to share with the listeners that you tend to break a zone press?
Well, I think what a lot of guys, you know, you're not going to have a John Hildebrandt, every year. So John, you know, when we won a back-to-back back in 2001, probably one of the best dribblers, best high school basketball players that come through this school, as far as that is concerned. But you're not going to have that every year. So I think what we try and do here now is ball position. You know, breaking a press is the ball's got to be up. If the ball's down, you're going to be in deep trouble. You can't throw the ball over the press from your hip. You got to get the ball up. It stays in the air too long if you throw it from down low. You know, we try to get a good, a good split, good screens, pick and roll, get the ball in and reverse it, attack the middle and go. I think that's your best option. I mean, you got to throw the ball over the top of a zone every once in a while, but you can't fall in love with it. So you have to reverse the basketball. You do it in the half court. Why wouldn't you do it against the zone?
That makes sense. And so when you're talking offense, are you more of a continuity guy or sets for offense?
We have gone to, because we don't have a post player, we have gone to more of a five out. And it's not, I mean, it's a the old passing game. I mean, it's pass screen away, but there's a little bit more to it than meets the eye. I mean, people in FHSS and they look online and I hope they don't know what we're doing, because I don't know what we're doing half the time. You know, which is good. I don't want them to. Here's the set. Play basketball within the set. Here's a few rules, and go play basketball. I think sometimes we over micromanage these kids. My rule is just take a good shot. You know, get in the paint, kick it. Get in the paint, shoot it. You know, shoulder down, shoot a jumper. You know, if you're by them equal, get a lay in. If not, kick it. You know, so I've got, you know, guy's good enough to do that this year, but if it goes back to where we don't have good ball handlers and guys that can drive the paint, we'll set some more, we'll run some different stuff. But I don't really want coaches. They can come watch us all they want. I hope they don't know what we're running.
So, you know, one thing I'll say is, from my experience, you guys are a program that just brings physicality and toughness. How do you get Dayton kids to commit that type of physicality and toughness that you bring on a game-to-game basis?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think it comes from the players themselves. It comes from the former players, the past players, the guys before them. And I think it's kind of handed down. And, when they come in the door, hopefully they know that they're going to have to defend. I mean, that's kind of the message they get right away. It's like, hey, to get on the floor, you're going to have to defend. If you're a liability to us, I can't play you very much. I mean, now, with that said, I mean, you got to do what you got to do if you don't have the guys. But we just want them to compete. And I think defense is something that you can do every single night. And if you can take it personal, then you're going to be successful in our program. You just will. I mean, because I don't know if, you know, I think that it goes back just maybe to me personally. I wasn't the guy that was the greatest player, but I had to try in order to get to where I was. And my expectation is they're going to try. I mean, you got to give it your best effort. And we've had such good kids here that they've really given a great effort. They really have. And that's the biggest compliment you can get from another coach is that your kids play hard. I mean, I take great, and I tell our kids that too. I go, we may not have won tonight, but I had an opposing coach come up and say, you know what? You guys play really hard. And that to me is the best compliment you could have.
For sure. I mean, and so when outside of just how you guys play hard and your defensive abilities, what are some things, ways I'd say, what are some ways that you develop your program, you know, in the off season or, you know, during the summer just to get them ready for the runs that you typically go on during the season?
Well, and you know it as a coach, as a player, I mean, you've got to be strong. I mean, we've been trying to get the last few years of kids to lift more, and it's they really haven't taken it to the next level. I think this year we got more out of our weight training. Of course, we got some football players, and they're lifting in the summertime. But I wanted the guys that weren't playing other sports, and I only got about three or four of them that don't play other sports, which is unfortunate for them. I wish they would, but there's some guys that don't play other sports. I'm like, look, you got to lift. You have to. I mean, if you're benching 150, bench 200 or 175 or 180 by next basketball season. You know, that's something that you can quantitatively, you can measure. You can go, okay, I was here, now I'm here. So that 10-footer, now I can shoot 15 feet. That 15-footer, I can shoot 18 feet. That, you know, and it just, I can get that rebound. I can play through contact. And so the guys this year did lift a little bit more than in the last couple of years, which was really nice to see. And I went down and opened up, and there's some other coaches that are there in the football stuff and doing that. And so it has helped with some of these guys this year. They've gotten stronger and it's helped us compete, you know, where last year we weren't getting it stuff and now we're being able to get rebounds and so forth. So it does help. It just does.
So if you were to use three words that describe the Dayton program, what would you say they were and why?
Well, I would say they're competitive. The guys like to compete, aggressive. And I mean, I know it's not one word, but they have a good attitude. I mean, we try to teach guys to have a good attitude. I mean, that's a hard one. Attitude is everything. Attitude and effort. That's the two things that we want from our kids. I mean, I can't teach them offense. I can teach them how to play defense. I really can't teach you how to play offense because that's God given. I mean, either you can put the ball in the basket, you've put your time in at the court, you've worked on your skills. By high school, it's almost too late. You know, I can't change a shot unless a kid really wants to work overtime. You know, but I can surely show you how to play defense and you know, and where you need to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I've always said that. I mean, as a football coach, I can have any athlete step out and we have, you know, daily doubles. I can get you ready to be an all-league football player. I mean, because it's a gross motor sport. You know, I just have to teach you how to block, get off a block, tackle. I mean, if you're an athlete, you can probably catch, but who cares if you can't catch? If you're an athlete, we'll hand you the ball. Let's see what you can do, or you can be a lineman.
Or block. Yeah. Or block, yeah. There's always something for you.
And so that's easy, but when it comes to basketball, I mean, I'm coaching my son's, you know, little young team, and we're like we're doing footwork. You know, you're just we're jump stopping, we're pivoting.
Yeah,
we're, you know, I mean, we're talking third and fourth graders, but we're just grinding on it. Well, the thing is these kids will have it. You know, it's just going to take them. It's a process. I had one dad come up. He's like, man, the process that we've been in over the last year, and I'm like, yeah, well. And, you know, when they get to eighth grade, they're going to be better than a lot of teams because we've been working on it since they're little kids. But you can't come in as a freshman and try to learn that stuff and be an effective player. I mean, it's almost like it's hard. It's hard to catch up, you know. And then when you're talking about offensive skills. It's a fine motor thing. I mean, to have good shooting form, to have good touch, to have, you know, ball handling skills, that's so much work, you know. And it really does take a special person to have put that time in offensively. So I agree with you. I mean,
yeah,
you can teach defense. It's funny that it's gross motor.
Right. Well, it's funny that you say the jumps up and ball position. There's in our the stuff that we do is a lot of John Wooden. I mean, stuff. And probably some of our players are like, "Ah, you kidding? We're doing this again?" I'm not kidding you. We spend a lot of time on jump stops. We spend a lot of time coming to the basketball. We spend a lot of time on ball position in what we do. I mean, we stop in drills, and it's like, all right, there's a turnover. Stop. Blow the whistle. Where'd you throw the ball from? Because if you look at it, most of your turnovers come from down low. They'll come from a one-handed pass down low. They'll come from, you know, not, you know.
So you're not a proponent of chest passes is what you're saying. Chest passes or one-handed passes coming from the hip. You're more of a overhead pass guy.
That's not yes and no. I mean, yes and no. We're more of a when you catch the ball needs to rotate up and around your body. That way, because – and what we do in our offense, I mean, we're looking for pass first, drive second. And so, I mean, right. You know as an offensive player that you're going to shoot the basketball when you're open. You just know that. I mean, guys just instinctively know the ball kicks out, I'm going to shoot it. But when it's past the inner offensive set, the ball needs to rotate up above your head in case we've got a backdoor cutter, we've got a pick and roll, and we want the ball to rotate up. And it slows guys down because, guys, you know, your first thought is always wrong. So, you know, we want them
back. Wait, explain that. Your first thought is always wrong. Explain that.
Well, it's a term that we use all the time when guys are going too fast. They'll think a guy's open, and if all he did was slow down, and in order to get them to slow down, the ball goes from 3, 12, 9, or 3, you know, 9, 12, 3.
And if you rotate, 3 and 9 would be like their shoulders?
Yes, and then up over the top is 12. So if you rotate the basketball, you see the whole court, it slows you down, you don't make that turnover.
So you train your players to have basically ball from shoulder to shoulder? Keep it up
on the first catch in the first rotation. Absolutely.
Gotcha. Okay.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, guard, you watch big man rebound. Ball goes down below the waist, gets stripped by a guard.
Every time.
You know, every time. Ball goes
in.
It's
funny you say that because we do a drill right now with, not our high school, but our little guys, after they make a layup, they catch it, and we just go from shoulder to shoulder. So they have the ball, they catch it, they chin it, they take it to the shoulder, and then as they're going to the end of the line, they just have it shoulder to shoulder, and it's like, that's all we're doing. That's all we're doing.
Well, it doesn't change a lot at our program, and I think some of our guys, you know, I can almost guarantee that some of them are rolling their eyes because we will do dribble left, jump stop, reverse pivot, ball up, rotate it.
But when you get into the biggest games, that is what you're doing.
You are. Where does the turnover come?
It comes from not being able to do the most basic fundamentals, right?
And it comes down. So I have had, I mean, you've seen some of the guys that we've had play here. We've had Zach Bernard.
Great players.
I mean, you've had some great. I tell them, look, I'm not trying to inhibit your creativity, and I'm not trying to hold you back here. If you can throw the behind-the-back pass and put it on a dime, you can throw it every single time. You want to throw a one-handed pass, and you can throw it every single time. But when it's turned over in a big, heated, you know, spot in a game, you're going to look to me and go, "Ah, crap." You know, I don't want you to do that. So it all the other stuff, you watch when at end of games, it's always a big rebound, a big free throw. It's never it's never a nasty crossover and a, you know, a pull. It's always something fundamental. And this is high school basketball. And so if they can ingrain that, and we don't, you know, it's just like a guy turned the ball over. Well, where's the ball? You know, and it's down. You know,
very
it's a one-handed pass.
I mean, it's true. I mean, let's just say you broke down like 100 plays or 100 turnovers.
Yeah.
It really is. I mean, every dribbling turnover is down low. And then I see a lot of these when kids are getting, they throw a pass to the wing, it's always a chest pass or a lazy bounce pass. You know, when it's a skip, well, I hate those ones when it's like they have the ball down and they're trying to skip from the waist. I mean,
wait,
it's impossible.
You can't do it. You can't do it. The ball's in the air too long. The curve of the ball. I go, look, I'm not a math major, parabolic curve and all this stuff. I go, I couldn't tell you geometry, but I'm just telling you when the ball's up, it stays in the air a shorter period of time. You know, when it goes from your waist and it has to go up and clear his hand and get up over the top of everybody else and then come back down, it's just too high in the air. It stays in the air too long. So, you know, we're trying to break it down to basic fundamental stuff that they can relate to so we can make adjustments. I mean, my assistant coach and I are on the same page with that. I'm a stickler for fundamentals, and I'm also never a kid. You can't throw the behind the back pass, or you can't throw a no look pass. I'm thinking, what are you, crazy? I mean, yeah, you can. If you're really good, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
But
yeah, earn it. Let's see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they kind of all know that. You know, it's nice to work through that though, but to see kids in a big pressure situation, not bring the ball down and do, you know, have good fundamentals, and it just brings you, you're just going, oh man, now that's basketball. I mean, some of the old guys come up to me and goes, I like how you guys are rebounding the basketball. And I'm going, well, thank you. But you know, it's a lot of work for the kids, you know, cause you know, we don't harp on it, but when they do make mistakes, it's like ball position, let's go, you know, yep. And they know. So
when we talk about the OSAA and the number of classifications we have and, you know, the 4-year mm-hmm. time blocks for everything, are mm-hmm. you personally satisfied with the current system?
Yeah, that's kind of a loaded question. I mean, it's, you know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not a big one for all this transferring stuff. I don't know if it's good for our game. I really don't. I don't know if there's certain schools that are getting a bigger advantage over other schools. And you know what I would hate to see is I would hate to see high school sports go away, you know, and if we don't get teams to be, and I'm not saying that mediocrity is what we're aiming for, but there are definitely teams that are getting new players for 1 year, and I don't know if that's a good idea.
When you see that, what are your thoughts of what needs to change on that? And I mean,
well, I don't know. The OSAA doesn't want to get involved in, you know, that all that mumbo jumbo stuff. You know, I don't think they've ever declined an interdistrict transfer in Salem. I mean, you can go wherever you want now. So, you know, guys load up, they leave this school and go to another school. And I'm just not a big fan of that. I never have been. And I just think that it hurts. I mean, it, you know, and we have no room to complain at Dayton because we've had such good kids here. We really have. We've been really competitive and it's been a great time here for Dayton basketball in Dayton over the last 20, 25 years or whatever. And, you know, so I have it's not like I can sit here and just start harping on other schools that are getting guys in, but I just don't think if I was living out in, you know, Sheridan or Scio or Willamina or, you know, there's not a whole bunch of people moving into those areas. And it's really tough for some of those schools if you're, you know, you think you're going to be competitive this year, and then all of a sudden you're the team in your league's got 5 new guys. I'm not, you know, and I can't blame them at all for not to want a good education, you know, and paying extra for it. I can't blame them for it. I don't, but I'm not so certain that it's fair for some of these rural towns. I just don't see how it could be.
No, I totally understand that, and yeah, just needs to continue to be looked at and worked on. And
yeah,
totally understand.
A number of teams at the 2A level and the 3A level too. That you know, and there's some really good coaches at those levels too. I don't want to take away from where our coaching's at the 3A level. There are some really high quality coaches at our level. There just are, and they're at public schools and they're private schools, and so I have a lot of respect for a lot of the coaches at our level. They know what they're doing. There's a lot of guys out there that really know what they're doing.
Yep. No, I totally agree with you. And that's why, you know, when here in a bit. I want to get through, kind of rattle through some of the 3A stuff. Real quick, though, and this is 3A stuff, you know, being at 2A when I was at Toledo, you know, our goal was always to get to Pendleton. You know, I think it was one of the coolest. What I do think, I personally think it's probably the best tournament site in the state. You know, I've been to the other tournaments. I haven't been to the 1A, but I've heard it's got kind of the same energy. I think Eastern Oregon, they just do a good job of hosting a tournament. I do, however, want to ask you, as a coach, you've been to Coos Bay, and they run a very good tournament. Do you feel like Coos Bay is one of the best, you know, state tournaments in the state? And what are some of the best memories you have going down to Coos Bay and competing down there?
Well, I think that they do a great job with the coaches and the teams that are there, and that's really who count. I don't think you get as big a turnout in Coos Bay as you do, for some reason, as possibly Pendleton. I don't know why. I kind of have my idea, and my idea is that, you know, and there are, you know, it's like OES and De La Salle. They're only going to bring so many people. I mean, the thing about the excitement about a state tournament is to play in front of a lot of people. And when you're bringing a town of Heppner, which is only, or Stanfield, and they're loading up, and they're going to bring everybody in their town.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so you know all about it. And so
we played Eragon in the state championship game, and I don't remember what the numbers were, but it was crazy. There was so many Eragon people there. Because it was like 10 miles away.
Yeah, 10 miles away. And it's, how much fun is that for your kids, though, to play in front of that? But when you're traveling 4 hours away and OES is coming, or De La Salle, and there's 50 people there from that town, it just kind of diminishes. It is an empty gym. So some of those teams don't travel very well. Now, Cascade Christian travels well. Sandium Christian travels well. Some of the other ones do, but some of them don't. And it just kind of takes away from that feeling. You know, even when I played in the state tournament, going back, you know, a long time ago, 40 years ago, that, you know, we were playing teams like, you know, 4A teams. We were playing the Cresswells and the Newports and those teams. And they're all traveling. And so when you go to Mac Court, it was packed. And so we do – I think that's part of it. I think the other thing is that it is a ways down to Coos Bay, but it's a ways to Pendleton too. So I think there's something
about Pendleton that just is a fun trip. You know, and I think what you're saying is true, but, you know, like you hear – I mean, Gary at Western, I mean, they their whole organization, they just block out a whole hotel in Pendleton, you know? I mean, it's crazy. They bring it, they fill half the convention center, you know, they have so many people. And
I've been to both, and I think they're both good venues. I like Coos Bay. I like the floor. I like the gym. I was never a big guy playing in that other gym at Pendleton. I mean, I like playing.
I really
Pendleton
do
High
like
Coos
Bay's gym. They have a great gym.
They do have a great gym, and even in the, you know, going to North Bend is a nice gym. So I don't know. I think it's more about the experience, about, you know, just being there and being in that facility. Whether it's Baker, whether it's Pendleton, whether it's Marshfield, I think those three in particular are probably the best state tournaments.
So if I was to ask you about the 4A right now, the 5A and the 6A. So 4A, you know, you're talking
Fourth Grove.
At Fourth Grove High School. The 5A is playing at Gill, which is where the 4A used to be. And the 6A is playing, what, UP, right?
Yeah.
Are there some other gyms that would fit 4A, you know, maybe better? I think maybe Gill's a little too big. You know, is
I don't
a high
know.
School gym
I think
best?
It's okay. I think it's okay. I mean, we played, when I was in high school, we played at Mac Court. I'm telling you, that was the best place. That's when I fell in love with Dayton basketball. I was in third grade, and I went to Mac Court to watch us play in the state tournament. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to come here and play in the state tournament. I'm, you know, picked up basketball, tried to play every day. So
I wonder if
that to me,
what the availability of Matt Court is right now.
They do some stuff there, but I don't know if they're playing, you know, they're not playing high school games there. I mean, the parking was terrible, but I'm telling you what, it was a big deal going to Matt Court and playing in, on that floor. It was just a, it was a big deal. There were more people from Dayton that used to go to those games because it's only an hour and a half away. Even right. if you played on a Thursday night, people could make it. They're not driving 4 hours to see a Thursday night game or a day game on Thursday. So that kind of sucks, but it, that's for everybody. That's never going to change, and we don't want it to. But I just think that I do not want to see it go back to Willamette. That was awful. They just didn't treat us very – I mean, there was no parking. There was one bathroom. I mean, you know, floors are floors. I mean, you know, gyms are gyms, but it's just the way they treat you, the way you feel wanted. And Marshfield wants us. Pendleton wants you. You know, Baker wants them. You just want to feel wanted, and you want to feel like your kids are special for being there. It needs to feel special.
Right. No, I totally agree. And I think one of the coolest things with Pendleton, you show up, they have a business or they have, you have a couple escorts, you know, you have a couple people that are like your, you know, your personal, they take you around, they take you to the locker room, and then you have a business locally that sponsors you. And there, you know, there's a packet there. I mean, and it, they just go the extra distance to make it a great experience.
Well, so unfortunately, Marshfield even goes a little bit further. They have a coach's dinner, which is all fresh seafood that they catch that day, and the kids have a meal that they prepare that for them that same night, but the coaches get served like kings, so it is pretty cool.
That's really awesome.
Yeah, so, they go all out.
So when it goes to 3A, I just want to kind of get your 3A rundown right now. I mean, we're early in the season. Obviously, in the Lewis and Clark League, you got a bunch of really tough teams, Westside Christian, OES, obviously De La Salle, a couple others, Valley Catholic. For your league, also tough, the Pac West, you got you, Amity. Who are some of the bigger, the better teams other than outside of you and Amity in the league?
Sandy Christian came back into our league. They're always really competitive. You know, they lost a lot of guys from last year's team. That was, you know, this is, I don't know if you call it a down year. They're still good. I mean, they're still going to be solid. They got a big post player that's good, and they got some guards that can shoot it. They did get beat the other night by Harrisburg. But Harrisburg's got a really good coach and good players. They're just not a lot of them. They're a good team. There's just, you know, there's just not a lot of guys on our team. But I think our league is the three that you mentioned. Amity's still going to be competitive. They've got a lot of guys that can play. New coach, a kid that played there. So, you know, just how that all shakes out. But they've got some good athletes. If they come together a little bit, they'll be tough ourselves. And then up there, tomorrow night we play OES, and that'll be the third of all the – I figured that we're going to be the top three out of that league. And, you know, we played Westside up there. We played De La Salle here, and now we're playing OES tomorrow night. So, you know, those are really good. And I think then, you know, you go down even further south, Cresswell's got a good team. You know, Pleasant Hill's got a quality team. You know, and obviously Cascade Christian down there is the cream of the crop of probably the whole state. It's, I mean, when you got a seven-footer that everybody's kind of looking at already, you know you're in trouble.
I mean, that length, it doesn't matter how hard you work to box a guy out. It doesn't matter.
No, he's a good kid. He seems like, I mean, I don't know him well, but I know him, and he seems like a really good kid. He works hard. I mean, heck, his dad played at Oregon State, tight end, and so he comes from, you know.
He's only a junior. We're talking about Austin Bauer
absolutely.
Cascade Christian.
Yeah, that kid, and he's just, he can pass, he can shoot, he can dribble, he can rebound, you know, and he's going to get stronger, and he's gotten stronger this year than he was last year, and next year will be a problem too, but, you know, for everybody else, not for them, but, you know, it's, those kids come through your program every once in a blue moon, and you're just lucky to have them, and it's hard to coach against them. So they're the cream of the crop down there. There's some other good teams in that league with Douglas and, you know, St. Mary's and South Umpqua. I think those are the teams down there. And then, you know, you go to the east side, and Vail was tough last year. I mean, we faced them in the first round. They were extremely strong. They were your good old fashioned farm boys, tough kids, well coached. So I spent a year over in that area, junior college. So I know those kids out that way. They're tough kids. So they got a lot of kids back. I think once they get it figured out, they'll be probably one of the better teams over there again as Vail. So
right now, early season, who's your top five?
Well, it'll have to be Cascade. I mean, Cascade is, their first game is tomorrow night because they knew they were going to be in the state championship football game. So they scheduled late. They're probably, you would have to say, coaches pool number one. Then you'd probably have to say that Westside Christian would be number two. Then you would have to say that, you know, there's probably three that I would think of that would be us, OES, and De La Salle, and, you know, maybe there, and then Cresswell, and, you know, kind of going, you know, that way. But, you know, it's hard to see how teams, if they're going to get better. I mean, some teams are going to get better. Some teams are going to get not better with, you know, whatever injuries or whatever. I mean, but I think that's kind of where it looks right now, but it's hard to say because it is early, but they're, you know, I haven't gotten to see Cresswell. We're going to see them later on. We're going to play them at the MLK tournament. Then Harrisburg, we'll play them at Harrisburg. So, but I think there's just some quality teams out there. If you don't play well, you're going to get beat.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, and that's huge. And so when you're getting to the end of the season and you're going to the state tournament, I mean, you've had great runs and you've had runs where, you know, things don't go quite as how you plan. What are some things you kind of line out the weeks right before state playoffs and the state tournament?
Well, I think, you know, we're just trying to focus on the game, the next game. I mean, I try not to get too far out in the weeds. I mean, as coaches, we go, okay, well, we could line up with these guys. Do we know what they do? But, I mean, as far as with talking to our players, it's just like we're just focused on the next game. I mean, that's what their focus should be. So, like I told our guys tonight at practice, all we have to worry about is OES. That's all your thought should be is about, you know, watch some film. You know, let's prepare, and we did a lot tonight. We prepared for them, and that should be our focus. And just the task at hand. So just keep it one game at a time. It's the, you know, don't get too far out there over your skis, because that's when you start thinking about the end thing instead of just the thing right in front of you. So we just want them to concentrate on the next thing. That keep it simple.
And one team, you know, you talked a little bit about, we talked a little bit about classifications. One team that, you know, was a powerhouse at the 4A level has come down to 3A, Banks, and they're sitting at 3-1 right now. Have you seen them at all, and what are your thoughts on Banks?
I have not seen them, but I know that they're quality. You know, I may have left them out. I mean, I'm not saying that they're not. I'd say that, you know, they've always, when I was in high school, they were in our league. Banks was in our league, along with Sherwood and Willamina and North Marion. So those teams were in our league. So I know that those are all good schools. Those are all quality teams. So I have not gotten to see them. I tried to schedule them, but they were full. But I know they're good, and I just don't know how good. You know, I know that they did play Westside Christian the other night, and I know how good they are. They're extremely athletic.
Tell me about Westside Christian.
Well, they got a new kid in. He's a senior. I think he was possibly at Southridge last year. And the kid's got a heck of an elevation. He probably has a 38-inch vertical from what looks like to me. And he's 6'4", and he's about at least 200 pounds. So he's just a really, I mean, just a good-looking athlete. You know, it's tough to guard something like that with 6-foot-tall, 6'1". But we're doing it. We did a pretty good job, and they have a 6'7" kid 6'6 kid that's really springy too, and maybe he's not 6'6, but he's just got length and he jumps well, and you know, so those pose problems for us, not so much that they're, you know, scoring a bunch, but rebounding and so forth, and block, you know, altering shots down low. That it's just tough. Their guards played pretty well. We I think we were leading at halftime and just kind of ran out of gas, and then they outplayed us in the second half. But they're extremely athletic.
Played them. I just realized that.
Yeah, we have played them. We went up to their place and played them the second game. So we played really well for the first half. I mean, started getting a little tired right before half and gave up a few cheap buckets that we should have defended a little better on. But, you know, it is what it is. And then they just outplayed us in the second half, and we ended up getting beat by 10. But, you know, it was a close game until late. But they're just – They shot it better than I was hoping that they would. But
yeah, we just played Seaside the other day over at Junction City, and they hit 14 threes. And it was just like, Well, I don't think there's many games you're going to win if you're giving up 42 points from the three-point line. So
No, it's tough. That's really hard. But that's the only way Seaside's going to be able to do it this year, because they don't got to have a really big post that they can dump the ball into either.
They're tough. They are tough.
Yeah, no. Well, they kind of take note from their coach. I mean, Bill does a great job, so he wants them to play hard, and they play hard.
Well, Coach, yeah. You know, I just want you to know there's been a number of things that, you know, when I've asked you that question about the offense, you know, there's been games where we've played and you just killed us with this play that you run, and I stole it, and it really helped us, you know, and I've stolen some little things here and there from you. So I really appreciate you as a coach and, you know, your program. Really just a great program. I think a blue blood, obviously, in the 3A, and really in all of the state, Dayton boys basketball is a program to be reckoned with. So just want to thank you for that. Thank you for coming on today, you know, in the middle of December, late night, just to get this pod in. So I really appreciate that.
Appreciate the kind words. I couldn't do without all my assistant coaches and all the good parenting. So I really appreciate that. And it's been a fun ride here at Dayton, and I hope it continues. And I'll do it as long as I'm having fun. I'll continue coaching and trying to help kids as much as I possibly can.
That's awesome. Well, again, I appreciate it. And if you guys want to get a hold of Coach Hopp, just look in the episode description and some contact info if you have any questions for him. Other than that, thank you for coming on the podcast, and listen next time as we're going to touch base with a 4A coach and talk a little 4A. But until then, keep grinding.